God has really blessed us to be here and to sing and participate in these beautiful hymns where praise is lifted up to the God of heaven, thanksgiving to him, praise to him, acknowledging him that he is God and is in he alone that we actually live, move, and have our very being. Every Lord's Day, I look forward to being here to see you, to be in worship with you. And it's always, always just uplifting when you see the saints of God. And I love the faithfulness of many who make sure that each and every Lord's Day you're here. When you're not here, you're missed. You're missed. And you need to know that you count and you are very, very valuable to this congregation. Those of you who are visiting with us, we appreciate your presence. Amen. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to share with us in our worship to our God. I hope you know by now we love God and we are a people who seek to do his will. And if you are interested in worshiping with people of that nature and that purpose, then you're welcome here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. And so the worship service, the worship leaders, all who have made our worship what it is, we're very thankful to you. This is also not only the Lord's Day, but this is also the, has been designated as Father's Day. And being a part of Father's Day, I'm sure God has no problem sharing his day with fathers because fatherhood is a creation of his. He is the one who created man, made him, and had for his purpose in making man fatherhood. Fatherhood is definitely a part of being a creation of God and being a male. And so, with that in mind, I'd like for all fathers to stand, all fathers to stand. Let's give them a love deposit. Let's give them a love deposit. Isn't that beautiful? I wish y'all could stand. Don't sit down, men. Don't sit down. Some of y'all slow getting up. Oh, amen. Hey. You might as slow, bro. All right. But good to see you, men. Thank God for you. And being the heads of your homes and being leaders in your homes, thank you for your commitment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get up and let's shake these men's hand. Let's greet them and let's love on them for about 2 minutes and let them know how much we appreciate it.
I love to, I love, yes, I love. to praise his holy name.
Amen. We have to sing until you all stop fellowshipping. And so that takes the song a little longer. Amen. But it's all in the spirit of praising and honoring the great God who has blessed us. It's good to see Samantha Joseph. And just know we're still praying for you, Samantha. And God is still on the throne. In spite of what we go through, he's still a good God. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 18 through 21. I got off on a tangent at the first service and never got back to my lesson. So I'm going to try to stay on point on this one. And I pray that the Lord will bless the lesson. Now, though I got off point, it was a good sermon. And so if I don't go the same way, you go online and you listen to that one while you're listening to this one. And those who were in the first service, they probably need to listen to this one and that one too. But anyway, I'm going to try to stay on point for this lesson. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I want to stay on theme. So the title of this lesson is The Master's Teaching on Fatherhood. The Master's Teaching on Fatherhood. Through the Apostle Paul, we have instructions given to the family as he writes to this church concerning the doctrinal principles and the doctrinal themes that help shape our faith in our Lord. As he moves to the practical part of his epistle, he says that our theology must be put into practice. And part of that is the home and the relationships that we have in the home. What I want you to see is that family is the cradle and the fortress of Christian faith. It is through which virtues, spiritual virtues, shine brighter and become the channel by which society is influenced. And I want to underscore, it's through the home that society is influenced. Amen. You don't ever want society to influence the Christian home. The Christian home is to influence society. That's why the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Not the world. Our light, and the world is not the salt by which you and I are flavored. So as I speak in terms of the Master's teaching on fatherhood, understand that I am not speaking to be relevant. I am not speaking to become politically correct. I am not speaking to identify with culture. I am speaking as God's servant, sharing with you the Master's teaching, the Master's will concerning fatherhood and the family. It's so important to God that God will make reference to this idea of fatherhood in the qualifications of an elder. He must be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Fatherhood in this lesson deals with, number one, position. Number two, disposition. Number three, admonition. Position is a wife is to submit to her husband. And that submission is acknowledging him as the leader, acknowledging him as the head, acknowledging him as the source of their relationship. Wives must see that God calls upon you to live in submission to the leadership and to the headship of your husband. Now, may I say again, I'm not seeking to be politically correct. I am not trying to be culturally sensitive. I am speaking the word of Almighty God. And for Christian homes, those who have come under the authority of Christ, if you're going to live according to his will, wives are to be in submission to the headship of their husbands. Don't get many amens, but that's all right. And the Bible says, this is fit in the Lord. This is according to the Lord's will. But then he comes back and he says to the husbands, husbands, in your position, head, I want you to love your wives. Love here means to seek their best interests, to allow them to develop into and blossom into everything that God intended for womanhood and for the wife to be. He says in Ephesians, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. This love, the position of a husband, though he is the head, he is to be a loving head, a loving leader, one who sacrificially gives himself, his whole self, as Jesus gave to the church, he must give to his wife. She should never feel that she has become a servant to a dictator, a servant to a master. Amen. She is your partner, and she is the one who makes you all that you will ever be. And that's why God says, respect her in love. But then he says to the children, children, if you're in a Christian home, I need you to be obedient to your parents. I need you to obey in everything. That's another way of using the term submission. Submission is very important in the Christian home. It must be seen in the wife's response to the husband, the children in response to their parents. But then he calls out the father, and he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. He does not speak in terms of father until he has referenced the relationship of that man with his wife, until he has referenced the relationship of that man with his children. Fatherhood encompasses the wife, the husband and wife, the children. Fatherhood is in a context where God has great expectations for that man. And he references it in the fact that he has a noble position. God is right. He wants the man to be the steward of the home, the cultivator of the home. The word husband is said to be the word house band. He's the band around the house. He is the one that ties the family together. If the man or that husband or that father is not in place, it does great detriment to the home. And I am afraid that what has happened in our cultural society is that there has been a dampening, there has been a softening, there has been a separation from what God sees as being proper for the position of men in the home. And they are allowing now to not address what I'm addressing through the Word of God today. If I were to address this in a forum other than in the church, I would become a laughingstock. They would scorn me. They would say he's old-fashioned, he's out of step. But I'm not worried about being in step. I'm not worried about being. I just want to please God, and I want to die pleasing him. And I want to be his voice in the wilderness, crying to an unrepentant people that God has a standard for the home. God has a way for the home. And he intends for that man to stand strong in that home. That men, we're calling on men. God is calling on you to be a man in the home and to be the head of that house. God was right when he addressed Abraham in Genesis 18 and 19. He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." In the time of the patriarchs, God expected that man to be the head of that house, the one that led his home by example. Job was another example of that period. Job chapter 1 and verse number 5, the Bible said, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." It's talking about his children. Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, curse God in their hearts." Thus did Job, watch the word, continually. Here is a man that God found favor with. God said that he's a man that escheweth evil. He is a man that is pleasing in my sight. But you find that he was a good father. And you find that Abraham was a good father. And you're going to have to understand that God expects us to take on our position. Shame on me if I've been married as long as I've been married and I have yet to experience headship in my home. Y'all were supposed to laugh at that. But that's what God expects. But then secondly, not only does this speak to position, but it speaks to disposition. Two words that he uses in this context that speak to the disposition of the man. First of all, he says, "Husband, be not bitter. Be not bitter against them." And then, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." This speaks to the disposition of the man. Don't stir up and incite and aggravate and hassle and inflame. You know, God evidently feels that a man in a position, that position can go to his head. He feels that because man physically is, and I'm talking biologically, is stronger than a woman, that you can take advantage of a woman. I'm preaching to you now. All right. Let me preach, Sister Fagan. All right. Yeah. Because if everybody spoke out like that, we wouldn't have order. Now listen to me. You know, the thing about it is that men, though you have strength, I have the strength. I can power over Sister Gibbs. God said, I don't want that kind of leader. I don't want a man that wants to bluff a woman. I don't need a man who wants to bark and act like he's some. Amen. All right. Sister Faith ain't gonna help me anyway. All right, but that's all right. Amen. Amen. But at least she's saying amen at the right time, and I like that. But I'm gonna tell you something. You know, men have a tendency when you get a position and you got power to abuse it and talk language that should never be talked. A man can become a governor, a man can become a mayor, a man can become a police chief, he can become a policeman, but God said, in your position of power, I need you to have a certain disposition. The disposition that I want is a disposition of love. The disposition I want is that of servanthood. God said, I want you to submit yourself under those in whom you have been placed in charge. That's why the Bible says clearly, when you read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, submitting yourselves one to another, and the head of every man in 1 Corinthians 11 says that the head of every man is Christ. A man that submits himself to the Lord, and a man who has given himself to the Lord and his ways, he is not abusive in his home. He doesn't come in with bad language, and he doesn't come in with demanding this and demanding that. He's not domineering, he's not dictatorial, he's not headstrong, he's not overassertive. And certainly he's not oppressive in that home. Servanthood leadership is what God wants. A leadership role that is there but not always exemplified and used to control. God doesn't want you to control that way. Lead by example. Lead by being patient. You know, I don't like to give a lot of personal testimony. I don't. But anyway, I'm going to say this. I married a strong woman. She's small, but that's a strong woman. Sister Gibbs don't play. I'm just being honest about it. I would not be standing here today as your preacher if I had married a weakling. My children wouldn't be who they are today if I didn't have a strong wife. And so it's hard sometimes for me to be able to just really go in and just demand this and demand that. And if there's a change that I want in her behavior, I don't go in demanding it. I study. Timetables. When is a good time to approach Sister Gibbs? Yeah, I study her. Got good knowledge of her. I know. Not to approach when I'm upset. Cool off. Amen. Walk. Get your attitude right where you can talk to her right. Because women can out talk you. They can cut you and you bleeding. You don't even know you bleeding. Until you look in the mirror and all that blood, you say, when did she cut me? She cut you a long time ago, brother. Oh, she got you. So all I'm simply saying, you got to learn, study your wife. Live with them according to knowledge. I get a lot of biscuits. I can get biscuits whenever I want biscuits. And you know why not? Because I go in there and say, you make me some biscuits. Man, I'm so good to that girl until if I just act like I want some biscuits, she's going to go in there and cook me some biscuits. She asked me the other day, what do you want me to fix you for Father's Day? And I said, baby, don't fix me anything. I don't need anything. But she would have cooked it. And that's because I deal with her according to the right disposition. And then, lastly, this text not only deals with position and disposition, but it deals with admonition. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, the other text in Ephesians 6:4, which parallels this one and is a match to it. In verse number 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, while Colossians says to anger, this one says to wrath, while he says to the Colossians, lest they be discouraged, he says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I listen to these people who say, well, you got to keep it in context, and you can't get outside of the context, and you don't need to be going to verse to try to prove something. I beg to differ, sir. Amen. You're not going to ever find all the truth in one verse. Now, I'm making another point. I'm still on the family, but I'm talking about these people who are like trying to lead us away from the Lord. You can't proof text. No, I'm proof texting this one. I'm going to another scripture to show you that the message that he's preaching in Colossae is the same message he's preaching in Ephesus. And the truth in Colossae is the truth in Ephesus. And the truth in Ephesus is the truth in Colossae. Well, you know, I'm about to get on a tangent again, John. Let me stay with my message. You know, it's bothering me what's going on in the church today. Amen. Just to see how people are just being led astray by what God has commanded. I mean, it's just plain today is to see them drifting from what God said. People don't even want to preach this kind of message in the Lord's church today because it's not popular. Because they want women to feel like they can feel like they're empowered. No. You are empowered. You are powerful for God. God won't make nothing that's not powerful. But he's given it restrictions as to how to use it. You go into churches now, and just to prove that we are culturally sensitive and up to date, whereas traditionally we have not allowed women to read the scripture. I'm talking about in the worship service, and to be on the communion table. Things like that, because we recognize male spiritual leadership. We understand that God has called for males to lead in the home and in the church, in the assembly. Now, I don't find a scripture that says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. And I'm not going to go on record and say that if a woman did participate in the communion, distribution of the Lord's Supper, that is a violation of Scripture. But it's not something that we have done because we have been sensitive in the Church of Christ to understand that men are to lead. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. God is on record saying that men should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8 and verse number 9. God gives instruction that the man was created first, then the woman. I know in society they want to make the woman equal with the man, and she has every right. Yes. You can do a whole lot out there in the secular world. A woman can be a woman can be a doctor, a woman can be an educator,
principal, she can be mayor, she can be governor, she can be president. Amen, amen. That is not the realm that God dictates over. But where God is in authority, where God rules, where God does the teaching, God wants women to learn in quietness. Now, I know somebody said, well, I ain't going to that church no more. Well, you're not rejecting me. I'm talking about the master's teaching. And the master is right. May I say this to you? Please understand, even though Brother Gibbs says these things and brings them to your attention, I know for a fact that there is no organization, there is no church, there is no family that will ever be all that it should be without a woman. I would never think that we can make it without the influence and the power of godly women. You make the church what it should be. But I want to go on record in saying to you that when you do it God's way, hear me well, just you don't do it because that's what you want to do. Amen. He said, obey your husbands in everything. Submit yourselves unto your husbands. And then he came back and said, it is fit in the Lord. I didn't ask you, did you like it? God said, I'll ask you to do it. I ask you to submit. And I just found out this, that whenever I do what God wants me to do, like God wants me to do it, there ain't nobody who can bless me better than God. God will send a blessing to your home. God will send a blessing to your children. God will do the blessing because God sees that you want to obey him and not somebody else. I know for a fact that any time you obey God, God is on record in saying that I know that I'll bless you. Am I right about it? So as I close, I'm closing with this. The admonition for husbands and for fathers. Make sure that you train up your children, nurture them, and make sure that you become the training ground and the teacher and the disciplinarian in your home. You do it. Don't leave it to the school. Don't leave it to the police department. You be the disciplinarian. You be the teacher in your home. Make them know that I'm your earthly father. But you got to be able to tell them that you have a heavenly father. Help them to understand that your earthly father makes mistakes. Your earthly father doesn't always live according to the way that God would have. But I want you to learn about your heavenly father. Your heavenly father is perfect. Your heavenly father doesn't ever make a mistake. Your heavenly father is the one that blessed your father. Your heavenly father is the one that the source of all life has come from. Your heavenly father is the one who gave life to everything on this earth. When you go around with your children, teach them as you go to the zoo. Look at the elephant. Look at the giraffe. Look at the buffalo. Aren't they different? And they seem to have different tastes. But it's your heavenly father that gave them their nature, that made them like they are. Look at how great your God is. Go all over the zoo. Look at the snakes. Look at the birds. Look at all of the animals in the zoo. Tell them that your heavenly father is the source of life. Your life didn't come from me. Your life came from God Almighty. When you leave the zoo, go to Botanical Garden. Show them all of the flowers that God has given and placed on this earth. Tell them in your God beautiful, in your God great, that he could give you all types of plants and all types of flowers. When you leave the zoo and you leave all of those botanical gardens, then take them downtown. Show them the difference between what man made and what God has made. Show them the building that a man made and then show them the son that God made. Show them how that man is able to do this, but show them that God is able to make something that'll never go out. Am I right about it? Oh, it's so many ways to bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When you leave downtown, you ought to show them to the house of God every Sunday morning. Every Sunday, you ought to lead your children to the house of God. Show them that the church is more important than sports. Show them that the church is more important than all the educational things. Show them that God is to be respected. Show them and teach them every day. Talk to them when you're in your house. Talk to them when you bow the way. Talk to them when you lie down. Talk to them when you get up in the morning. Talk, and let them know that God is the answer to all of your problems. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody ought to be a man today. Am I right about it? God needs some real men today. I know it's gotten to the point. I got to close, but I know it's gotten to the point that it's hard to tell a man from a woman. Now they're making clothes look like women's clothes, and women's clothes looking like men's clothes. There used to be a time. I know this ain't popular, but I ain't preaching to be popular. I'm preaching to tell it like God wants it. Yes, there was a time men didn't wear earrings in their ears. That was for women. But now you got men wearing earrings in their ears. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I got to tell it like it is. Oh, only women wore and had handbags, but now they got them for men. Am I right about it? Shame on us. We're at a point now, if you're not pleased with how God made you, then go on and get a sex change and become somebody else. God is not on record with that kind of stuff. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, this may be my last, but I'm going to tell it until the day I die. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, let me show you something. Well, somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, you just need to shut up and get on board with what's going on today. No. You don't know. That train you on, it ain't going nowhere. Am I right about it? Train I'm on is on my way to heaven. Am I right about it? I done sure enough got happy now. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, listen, as I calm down, listen to me well. We need men to be men. Women love men. They love it when you're a man. They don't want somebody to act like they don't know what they are. Don't put me on Facebook, baby. I see you taping, but don't put me on Facebook yet. Now watch it, let me. But that's all right. Go and put me out there. That's all right. I'll back up what I say. Amen. Now I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know, sometimes you say, well, I don't want to offend my wife and I don't want to offend womanhood. Uh-huh. Women love to see a real man. Yeah, they do. Man, let me tell you something. My wife, bless her heart. She on this man right here. Oh, man, she be on me. She's on me. I'm walking around the house, and I hear somebody say, straighten up your head. Don't walk like that. I'm going to start videoing you so you can see how you walking around here. Straighten up your shoulders. Come on, practice. Come on, practice. Raise your head. Square your shoulders. Walk, practice for me. In other words, she wanna see me walk like a what? A man. Don't act like you broke down. Come on now. Talking about you old. No, you ain't old. Come on, get all that out your head. Walk right. Amen. So I'm in practice. I'm in school. Amen. Y'all all right with me? All right. Oh, man, she helping me. Help me. Don't give in to that. Hold your head up. Square those shoulders. Walk, man. I'm saying to all of us, let's be men. Come on now. God has given us a position. He told you how to act with it. Now let's teach the world what a mighty God he is. Train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach your children to follow after you.
That's right.
Let them see you pray.
Yes. Come on now.
Let them see you read the Bible.
Yes, Jesus.
Quote the Bible.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Stop quoting all those statistics of the players that play on these basketball teams,
yes,
football teams. You got all that down.
That's right.
Tell them about some Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Come on.
Amen. Not Kawhi Leonard and all this. I didn't really get beside myself.
It's all right, brother. It's all right.
Jesus is calling the world back to God's original purpose. He's doing it through the church. The church is his mouthpiece. The church is his laboratory, where he puts and resets the world through evangelism and through us bringing men into the knowledge of him.
Yes, Lord.
We're getting ready to go into a season where we're going to have our gospel campaign and we're going to have things. Church, let's stop just being led by the world.
That's right.
And let's get in the position that God placed us in, and that is the influencer and not the influenced.
Amen.
May God bless us to that end. If you want to be set right, you want the right admonition, I'm begging you to come into a relationship with Christ. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus wants you to know that you must learn of him. And then when you learn of him, you're learning of the Father, and you're learning what the Father's will is. I'm begging you to become a disciple of his. I'm begging you to become a child of his. You come by hearing the gospel, how that Jesus died to make this possible.
That's right.
And he is the Son of God. You believe that?
Yes.
Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. And you don't want to do that, because if you die in your sin, you'll never see God's face in peace.
Right.
You're going to have to not only believe in him, but you're going to have to repent, which means that you're going to have to get off that road that you're on and decide to follow the road that Jesus asked you to. Mm-hmm. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Mm-hmm. That's a dead end that you're traveling. Mm-hmm. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you're going to perish. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 17, verse number 30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked. But he ain't winking no more. He's commanding men everywhere to repent. You're going to have to repent. Confess him. Tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Peter made that confession. The eunuch made that same confession. There's nobody will ever be saved without making the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. But that is not the final step.
That's right.
Baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, it identifies you with Christ. Romans 6:3-4, you become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. Don't you want to be a new creation? Don't you want the Lord to start you all over again? Don't you want him to set you right? If I have a broke leg, don't heal me with the leg broken. Set that thing straight.
That's right.
Then let me heal. That's what God wants to do for you. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you for evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb,
of the Lamb,
and there is power, 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 no working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb.